Good evening, everybody. AGP, do we have... Doesn't sound like we have mics.
Test,
we
do.
Check. Test, test, test.
Check. Do we have sound, AGP? Check. AGP, are we okay? Is it okay? Okay, all right, good, thank you. Welcome, everybody, to Tuesday, October 29th, City Council and Planning Commission joint meeting. For the record, all council members are present, and we have a quorum. Chairman Grantham, would you like to establish a quorum for the Planning Commission?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm just turning it over to the Planning Commission. Would you like to establish a quorum for your Planning Commission?
Thank you very much. Let it go on the record that all Planning Commissioners are present and ready to go.
Thank you, sir. And we'll call the meeting to order. Please join us in a moment of silence. Thank you. Ms. Jason, would you lead us in a pledge? Thank you. Glad you were leading us in that. Thank you. Well, we don't have anybody in the audience, but at this time we go into mayor, council members' reports, announcements, and presentations, and maybe we could start with our Planning Commission if they have any announcements. I think you've got a Thanksgiving dinner that might be coming up that you might want to talk about.
Yeah, I've been talking about it a lot. I hope people aren't tired of it, but the meetings have been going on behind the scenes for quite a while now. I think we've nailed down all the volunteers and what their responsibilities are going to be. It's going to be on Thanksgiving Day itself between the hours of 1 and 3. Again, I if you don't mind, I'd like to recognize Albertsons as a big contributor, and every year they do this, and they're very generous, and so are the other contributors, Cookie Crock, Mission Linen, Ace Miners, Culligan Water, Carla's Country Kitchen. Gosh, I hope I don't leave anybody out. Dorn's. I think that just about covers it. Our flyers actually were delivered today, and they'll be distributed out into the community. The Girl Scouts are going to come and do the decorations the day before while we're cooking, and the Boy Scouts will be serving, and it's going to be a great event, and we'll have entertainment, and so please show up. It's for anybody in the community that wants to come, and we'll be more than happy to have you. It's going to be a really good event like it is every year.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. It always is. Thanks. Anybody else?
No.
Anybody for council for announcements? Left to the right?
Yeah, just real quick, just a reminder for the downtown folks, the businesses, on Halloween morning, about 10 o'clock, the kids from Del Mar School are going to be doing their trick-or-treating. And so, one, make sure you have candy. And number two, public safety. There are going to be a lot of kids out there. And so they're well monitored, but just keep in mind that. So, but if you're a business owner, make sure you swing by Rite Aid or Albertsons and get a bag of candy, because they do take it.
What time is that?
You know, last year and the year before, they started about 10 a.m., and they were wrapped up about noon. So they come in sets, so they don't come all at once, but they have about 20 or 30 that come in, and then the next crowd comes in. So it's a lot of fun.
Great.
Thanks.
Anybody else? No?
Yes, thank you. I did want to announce a rather exciting development today. Thanks to our Public Services Department and consultants, we have our WRF, Wastewater Reclamation Facility, Wastewater Treatment Plant Options Report, now officially public. It's available online at the city's webpage on the project website. as well as right there on the right-hand side on the homepage under the calendar, because we do have a couple of workshops coming up where our consultant and staff will be presenting the options report, which is reviewing the options for the wastewater treatment plant location and some also technical sides. So plan on either the Public Works Advisory Board, which is a special Public Works Advisory Board, on November 4th, 6 o'clock here in the Vets Hall, the official public workshop for the report on November 5th, the very next night, here also in the Vets Hall, starting at 6 o'clock.
Both meetings at 6 o'clock.
Okay, both meetings at 6 o'clock. And then there'll be opportunity for public input, I'm sure, at those meetings. And then following that, it'll be coming to the council meeting on November 12th as another opportunity for the public to hear and for the council to comment as well. So, Rob, if you'd like to mention anything else, that'd be appreciated.
Thank you, Councilperson Smuckler. I just want to mention also that there's a comment section on the website. So there's a web form there that you can either provide your comments in that form or attach supplemental documents to it. So make it easy. Also, I believe beginning tomorrow morning, we'll have a printed copy available at our counter in case those folks don't want to. It's about a 25 megabyte document on the website, so it might take a couple minutes to download to your personal computer. It's about 300 and plus or minus pages, so it's quite a comprehensive report. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Just a quick reminder about our first annual Veterans Day barbecue that will be in this room on Sunday, the 10th of November, from about 11 to 4. And I was able to get a few more tickets, so I have tickets for sale. It's $10 for a wonderful chicken or beef barbecue, and it's only $5 for veterans and children. So we're looking forward to that.
Great. And I think we have one more to the left. George, no?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I would just like to remind one other item coming up on the November 4th PWAB agenda is on this agenda, we'll be talking tonight a little bit about the North Main Street specific plan. And in reviewing that, it reminded me of something that we have coming up at the PWAB meeting on November 4th, where we're going to talk about the review of what we've been calling the San Jacinto Corridor and improvements that have recently been made there. Since about August. So we're going to take more public comment about that and encouraging neighbors and anyone who uses that in the community to come out and speak to that. And perhaps Mr. Lavick would like to talk about that a bit more.
Just want to say that we did send notice out to people within 300 feet of that, basically the center line of the street. So we did get a few return postcards, but just make sure that if you do want to come out and make comments on the maybe some proposed revisions to that plan, that you are at the Public Works Advisory Board on the our special meeting. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much. That will be all. Thank you.
Yes, I almost forgot every year. I always remind everybody about Halloween because I got all those little grandkids out there. And I wanted to caution you on, especially on this night, because they kind of have a tendency to dart out there behind cars and things. So let's be really aware of these little guys and gals out there trick-or-treating. And thank you.
Thanks, George. Thanks for the announcements and from Council and Planning Commission. Thank you. Since that concludes our announcements, we don't have any public presentations tonight, and that will lead us into public comment. We don't have anybody in the audience tonight for public comment, and so I'll bring that back to Council and Planning Commission. And that will lead us into agenda items and turn that over to Mr. Lavick for our first agenda item.
And this meeting's agenda items are based on discussions with both the Planning Commission and City Council at their separate meetings. And we have three top general topics to discuss. Looking at our specific and master plans, a look at our LCP, Local Coastal Plan, General Plan update, and specifically where our grants are, and then a look at what I maybe unfortunately coined as the West Atascadero Road rezone and where that sits. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our planning manager who will lead us through this discussion. Thank you.
Okay. The first meeting, the first topic tonight is the discussion of the city's specific plans and master plans. Specifically, the Beach Street Specific Plan, North Main Street Specific Plan, the Waterfront Master Plan, and the Parking Management Plan. Staff has given you an overview, a brief look at these, and then included in our report, we have given you copies of the plans. I think they're just, I don't know, are they the full plans, Cindy? Yeah, I guess the full plans. Also, they're available on the website. And with that, we're not really sure how to lead this subject, the topic, other than to just indicate that the majority of them are fairly old and dated. I think the management parking plan is the one that's the newest. And so with that, I guess staff would just recommend that we sort of go through them one by one, and staff's available to take direction.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. With that, I will comment that, you know, this is an opportunity for Planning Commission and the Council, for the audience out there tonight, and the Council to get together and discuss any items before us, whether it comes from a Planning Commission or a Council. Seeing that we didn't have many items coming from the Planning Commission this time, I broached the question on some of our specific plans. Part of that was we had the topic of our parking management plan that came up, and it led the question of, we have specific plans, and how often does the Planning Commission, you know, get a chance to dive into these, and what's the importance of them? So I know there's a lot of information here, but it's an opportunity for us to just have discussion on these specific plans, and perhaps, you know, I'll start to my left here with Council if they have any specific comments on these. But I would just lead off by saying that, you know, it's an opportunity to have these agendized perhaps during the year of 2014 and take these specific plans on one by one, review them, take them, you know, for what they are, whether or not there's parts of it that has been implemented. I think it's a lot of times we get these and we think, wow, we haven't seen these plans in a long time. We didn't realize that maybe something was implemented in the past. Maybe it's dated. And then just come back with perhaps some recommendations on, you know, this specific plan. Granted, we have some dated ones. It's either relevant, it needs to be updated, or let's showcase some of the successes from these specific plans. So that was kind of the thought behind bringing some of the specific plans to the table today for us to discuss and perhaps get some comments from the Planning Commission. And with that, I would turn to my left to see if anybody from Council had any comments to discuss. George, any comments? Christine?
Yeah, thank you. I agree with Ms. Wold that the first two do seem a little dusty, but reading through them, you can see that there are some things that we're still working on accomplishing, at least since 1984, 85, 80, well, 86, I believe, was the first one, the Beach Street specific plan. There are issues that are still arising. But I have a general question for staff that I would lead with tonight, and I don't know if you want to take time to reply now or later. It's up to you. But when I look at these, I see them, you know, from my perspective as a resident and a city council member. But what I'm wondering is, how do you look at them as planning professionals? And what kind of lessons or what kind of use can these plans still provide for us today, even though they may be a bit dated? Are you using them in some way? I think the Waterfront Master Plan seems to be the one I hear the most about when we look at lease sites and things like that, the development there. But I'm wondering, how do you as planners wish for us to use these?
I'll lead that off. They are, at this point, the way I view them, maybe as I'm a civil engineer pretending to be a planner at this moment, but as guides to development and redevelopment. So they have specific requirements in these specific plans. For example, on the North Main Street specific plan, there's a requirement for frontage improvements for the properties that front along Main Street, plus the first three lots on the side streets as you go into kind of those beach tracked area. So we use that as overall guidance. They have a requirement to pay into a North Main specific plan maintenance fee. So we collect a very small amount of money for that. It appears that in the Beach Street specific plan, there has not been a significant amount of redevelopment since the time that this was adopted. So I think we see fewer of those improvements that have happened along Beach Street. Waterfront master plan, and Kathleen can expand upon this, but we only adopted a certain portion of that waterfront master plan, not the entire plan in its entirety, basically giving guidance as to how the property is redeveloped. The parking management plan, I think, in some ways is the most valuable of the plans, yet kind of the one that was, at least from my perspective, kind of forgotten about. It was adopted just as I was hired at the city of Morro Bay and didn't realize that much about it until this came to council and I had an opportunity to really read the parking management plan and learn that there was, you know, much good information in that plan that we need to probably resurrect and, you know, fully take a better look at as far as how, I'll give you an example. It had quite a bit of analysis on commercial vehicle parking down there and how to regulate that. That's something that's come up at council, and we should look to that study and their recommendations that were already adopted by council as a guidance as how to do that. It's, you know, when you look at that, it seems pretty simple rather than trying to reinvent the wheel and start all over again. I'll turn it over to Kathleen and Cindy for additional comments.
Yeah, I think that's a good overview. And I think the only difference is that with the specific plans, the North Main specific plan and the Beach Street, they're actually adopted rules and regulations. And the master plan, the waterfront master plan has one chapter that's adopted, the rest of it's a guideline. So they are kind of implemented differently depending on which one we're looking at. So, you know, but they're still in effect and we still utilize them. They're the next layer of regulation below the LCP and the general plan.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else from council?
I just did briefly wanted to follow up also because this is a really nice chance to revisit some of these plans. And I actually found myself looking really closely at the Beach Street specific plan just because it seems like it's been a fairly hot topic recently with some adjustments with Dorn or Verges moving into the area, ideas about the future of the Sun Bulletin building. And really looking at the comments within that plan, I think it speaks directly to what Mr. Livick and our staff were just saying, is the comments within that plan apply directly to it, talking about a very diverse neighborhood that appears to be living in coexistence, even though you have just an amazing variety of uses that are usually not compatible. So that was really interesting to me. And to transition, the other thing that we have obviously talked quite a bit about is the parking management plan and the potential for changes within at least the Embarcadero and even up into Beach Street with the addition of the triangle parking lot at Dynegy. So it's really an interesting time for us there with the water master plan. I'm seeing, you know, the boat yard, the boat haul out, the extension of Coleman and the bridge. These things are all going to have potentially large effects on where we go with it. And I'll just end by saying we did wrestle a little bit with the downtown parking in lieu resolution the other night, that was, and I won't make the mayor recuse himself on this, but you know, the question was, do we leave those, do we renew the resolution and leave those parking and lieu fees for the downtown at $2,000, or do we let it expire and return to the $15,000? And at the point in the council's discussion, we didn't have any clear vision about it. Well, it didn't seem like it was that utilized when we tried to use it as a tool to help with development. But I think what I came away from with that is it sure would be interesting to look at some of these areas, whether it's the beachfront area or so forth, and come up with some ideas that would help us facilitate growth that is in character with the town and that would be supported by the community. So thanks for bringing these forward tonight.
Chair Grantham, would you like to comment on this?
Let me start down here at the end. We'll work this way up. Dr. Teff, anything from you?
Sure. I look through all of these plans to some extent, and the beach plan, the Beach Street plan, is quite old, and it's not. To me, it doesn't really work as it's currently written very well as a specific plan, because it doesn't really define the character of the neighborhood very well. It's not. It doesn't define a cohesive area. Some of the north parts of that plan really seem to belong more with the residential neighborhoods that are located adjacent to them, to the north and the east. And so I think that plan really needs to be looked at again. Maybe even the provisions that are in that plan could be incorporated into the zoning ordinance, and it might even be possible to eliminate that. North Main Street, the one thing that has that strikes me with the North Main Street plan is that things have happened since it was written. The neighborhood has continued to develop. I think a lot of the vacant properties that were there when the plan was initially written are not there anymore. And the thing that strikes me is that virtually all of the new development that's north of San Jacinto Street has been multifamily residential. And virtually all of the development that's south of San Jacinto Street, with one or two exceptions, is commercial. So that in terms of providing facilities for the different parts of that neighborhood, I think that's something that needs to be recognized. What's necessary to foster commercial may not be the same as necessary to foster the residential development in the north part. Waterfront Master Plan, I think, is very good. I think there are some parts of it that have since not been found acceptable to the community that probably need to be revised, but the concept of it is very good. Finally, the parking management plan. There's a lot in that plan. There's a lot of direction in that plan that I think we could pay more attention to. One of the things that was really strongly endorsed was the concept of getting away from, especially in the downtown area and the Embarcadero area, getting away from the idea of on-site parking and going more to common parking. And, you know, it's just, I think that's something that it would be wise to emphasize more. I was looking at Google Maps earlier today, and just looking at, and you look and all, there's cars on all the streets and all the common parking lots are pretty full, and then you have the private lots for these private businesses that are often virtually empty. So there's a lot of wasted capacity there by asking businesses to provide on-site parking. So I think there's a lot of utilization of the parking management plan that we could take advantage of.
Thank you, Dr. Teff. Mr. Lucas.
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Tuft on the parking plan. I was on Planning Commission when that came through. I believe Nancy was on that commission as well. And I think it's constantly a balance between what are the problems that we're in coming up with and what are the opportunities that we come up with too. And so parking, obviously, because it tends to be an economic burden on the development of certain parts of town, has to be balanced with giving people an opportunity to bring some of these vacant spaces or underutilized spaces or spaces that aren't rented back in without absorbing large economic burdens on that. So I think that's a living document. And certainly the Waterfront Master Plan, I guess we're through a full cycle of leases from when the waterfront was first put together, and the you know, the walkways and things, we've had to deal back and forth with the goals in the waterfront master plan for a while, and now we're sort of looking at that that pivot point across from the power plant, and the nature of the fisheries and the fishermen's support and things like that. So I think these are, that's a really important one. You know, the North Main Street, obviously because of the Route 1 scenic corridor, you know, we're going to constantly have issues with the Caltrans easement only allows for that lovely fence that we have for 2 miles of the city there. And so how those businesses are supported or enhancements we can do to lure those. But that gets to the, you know, what to me is the proper time to look at these is when we're looking at the ability to get collateral advantages out of the other plans that are happening. And so, you know, the discussion about the wastewater plant coming in and what happens on Atascadero Road, it would seem to me that's when you want to look at the North Main Street and the way that intersection point starts to become important based on what is going to be the legacy for Atascadero Road as it goes down to the beach, because that could have a whole huge impact on the way the southern ends of the North Main Street plan maybe receive an incentive to develop. And similarly, the Beach Street, you know, was discussed earlier about the new alternatives plan that was put out today. And, you know, one of the alternatives is has a heavy impact on Beach Street. So, you know, if that would be the plan that would go forward, that's the time to revisit the Beach Street one as an important consideration, because that neighborhood would be hugely impacted if that was the choice. So I think some of these things are more day-to-day operational, like the parking management, and some of them actually have really revolutionary times to potentially open them up and go back to the community and maybe rebuild them based on what's happening elsewhere.
Mr. Fennessy.
Thank you. I concur, and, you know, you said it well. These, especially the specific area plans, are living documents. And, of course, none of them are perfect. In fact, all of them are not perfect. But we have an opportunity, certainly as a commission and then with the council and as the city staff, to be able to interpret those. So, you know, I like to take a look at each of the areas as they come before the Planning Commission, for instance, on a case-by-case basis, and identify, number one, what is the rule and the ordinance? And staff generally does a really great job of telling us what that is. And I think that our job then as a body is to be able to say, okay, we're going to restrict our decision-making relative to what that specific area plan is. So, of course, that's where the discussion comes in, and we can agree and we can disagree on that. But in terms of making changes to that, I think that's really the springboard place to kind of take a look at it. We encountered some issues with the granny units at our last meeting and how parking overlays with that. And there was some disagreement, and that's okay. We're here to kind of muscle through those. But I think it was important because it is, by example, that raised certain issues that we can take a look at. So when those issues come before us again to make changes to, we kind of have a running tally of some of those things. The one thing I would recommend as we look at, especially if we're going to make any changes in the future in 2014 to any of these plans, is to try not to get more restrictive than the state statutes, if there is a state statute on point. I don't think we want to go beyond that and be more restrictive.
Quite a lot is that we don't want to stifle growth and really look at some of the restrictions that are out there. And I think we should rely on the staff as to the priority on doing these things, on which one to do first and which one to do second, and which one to do last in looking at these things and do them right from the beginning, because it sounds like the parking is the number one issue that constantly comes up, and then the waterfront, and then work our way from there and prioritize it that way and ask the staff for some kind of priority in looking at these things in that priority order in 2014. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, I think it's obvious why I'm so proud to work with these guys. Isn't it? I mean, this is a bright group. It almost makes up for having me on the bench, on the group. I'd like to ask a question about the people mover, if I could. What is that going to fall under the waterfront?
the elevator or funicular at the
Centennial
Stairway. Thank you. It really doesn't fall under the waterfront master plan. And as I say that, I'm probably wrong. We should probably look to the design guidelines for the way that that might look there, because I think that gave us guidance on how the Centennial Stairway.
Yeah, my question, I'm trying to prioritize things, and I'm just wondering if it's a timely thing that we should take a look at before others or not, because that could be an involved thing. I just took a couple of notes. Let me get it together here. You know, all of these are important, and they're all outdated to in different ways and times. I guess what I'd like to do is to have council prioritize what they want us to do. Make your list of what you feel is the most timely and important thing to tackle first, and we'll certainly follow any direction given to us by staff, and we'll tackle these one at a time, and we'll knock them out and get them done. So in the interest of time, those are my comments.
Okay, thanks for that. I'll bring it back to council for any comments on that. Nancy, you have some comments?
I do, in listening to our planning commissioners, what I think is an immediate and very complex concern. I was speaking with some business owners who are in the block of Morro Bay Boulevard between Main Street and Monterey, and those, of course, are private properties on that street. Their problem lies in that the owner of the property directly behind their business is different than the property owner who owns what was a driveway that they could use to get into park and deal with other issues that they needed to behind their business. There are some of them that are very, very, the owner of the driveway has just recently put in a big locked fence gate, so they don't have access to this. I think one of the most serious issues with this is the Thai restaurant there. He needs to have people be able to get in behind to take out the grease and different things that need to be done. The music store is also having some major, major issues with the lack of their access to this, what could be a back parking lot for at least business owners downtown. And I know it's complicated, and I know it's private property, and being a firm believer in property rights, I'm not sure where we go from here, and I know we can't deal with it tonight. I just wanted to be sure that as we're talking about the Main Street parking issues or downtown parking issues, that this has definitely popped up recently as a major issue for our business owners.
Thank you, Nancy. Noah, did you have anything since I'm looking this way?
Just a follow-up comment in regards to Mr. Grantham and the discussion about specific plans. And what I wanted to hear from you is if you felt like there was a real good direction as we talk about the master plan or the general plan and the LCP update, and how we could avoid dragging that down, but also, as was mentioned, take advantage of that effort, and if there was room or the need to try to update these concurrently or so forth. I guess I was going forward assuming that the LCP and the general plan were going to become the highlight priority focus as we move into this next year. But if you'd like to comment on that, particularly if we see some real important needs within the specific plans.
I think that is our highlight focus for our,
We should be addressing this, because again, I'm kind of a broken record on this. You know, you can't, once the general plan and the LCP is updated, we're not going to reach through and change it through the specific plan. So for people to have an idea of what is working, what's not working is great. So an evaluation of them would be very helpful when we're moving on to the GP-LCP. Even as far as, well, this has been met, or these uses, we think these uses aren't viable here anymore, and then that would then add as be a tool for us when we're doing the GP-LCP update. But I think to actually update them and adopt them would be backwards.
And I think that would be a perfect topic of work for, you know, we've talked about forming the Citizens Review Committee for the LCP General Plan to set them with a, you know, a task to look at that and provide input to the Planning Commission staff and council on things that really need to be reevaluated in those specific plans.
Great. George, anything?
Well, getting back to the waterfront plan, there's so many unknowns down there that it must really confuse things how we're going to go down there. I mean, what we're going to do with the power plant in the future. I mean, that's a biggie. Parking is still a problem down in the central. Talked about it many times in the central Embarcadero. There, we got a real bad parking problem. You've heard me talk about this a lot, and I don't know if there's a way to get some parking garages down there or off the area parking or what. But there's, like I said, there's so many unknowns. I know they talk about this. To making a lift for boats to take out, and I see that almost impossible down in that area. I don't even know why we're even considering that when there's other areas to look at that would work out a lot better. But anyway, I just see so many unknowns down there.
Christine,
thank you. Well, in the essence of time, I know we have other things on the agenda, but for me, I think that the discussion tonight and the options and items brought up by both Planning Commission and Council, it seems to me, and I feel comfortable, that staff has a very strong grasp on how to integrate specific plans into the larger work of the general plan and the LCP update. So I am confident that these things won't get forgotten. They'll get dusted off and reviewed, and then we can look forward to revisiting some of the specifics through the GP and the LCP update process. So,
all right, thanks for that. Thanks for all the input. I know the priority on our general plan LCP is one of our goals, so this definitely, we didn't want to muddy the water with that. The idea of bringing this forward to discuss with the Planning Commission, and I think, Kathleen, you talked about it pretty well. It's just, hey, is there an opportunity to review these? And with that, I guess I ask the question, and if this was a kind of a project list for 2014, is it something that it would be difficult to for the Planning Commission to review these documents, whether it's once a quarter and however you want to lay these out, and just go through a review process? They'd give a public comment, an idea for public comment on them, Planning Commission to be able to, you know, review and make recommendations on barriers, successes, and whether or not things have been implemented. And then that might be also highlighted for our, Mr. Livick, you were referring to our potential general plan LCP committee, but just as an option for our Planning Commission to be able to review these, and then that could also be interpreted for recommendations for our general plan and LCP update. I think you were referring to that as well. So, you know, I hear Noah talking about making sure we stick with the priority of our general plan LCP update, and I think that's pretty clear with all of council as well. But just the opportunity to look at some of these specific plans in a bite-by-bite phase to where, you know, we can get through this in a year's time. Do you think that's something doable?
I do, and I think that sometimes when you're looking at the implementation plans of the general plan LCP, which the specific plan is one, sometimes you can see where your policies in your general plan and LCP aren't working because they don't implement well. So I think looking at that and then going backwards is a fine way to or going forward is a fine way to look at it. I think that probably, Rob, we would probably want to hire or have an intern, like how we did with the SIGN program, gather a lot of information, like, you know, what's, since this has been implemented, what changes have gone on, what policies, how they correlate to the general plan, LCP policies.
I get in the way of things.
I think it's a necessary component of the general plan LCP update, that we do need to look at these specific plans and the two management plans as we move forward and make sure that we have that consistency between our new general plan. We don't want to adopt a new general plan that's inconsistent with specific plans.
Sure.
So
okay.
I think it's a necessary component of that general plan LCP update.
And I think you definitely have to evaluate what's working and what's not working for the community right now.
Sure.
And there's no better way to do it than to look at your implementation and how it really flushes out in the projects, you know, that, that are, that, like you said, there are some issues with the Beach Street, you know, just in people, what the market is pushing the community towards and what our rules and regulations allow is kind of had loggerheads, you know, recently. And so I think that we really need to look at, you know, is it practical for us to make changes and what that would entail and what would have to be revisited to do that, because sometimes that might not be acceptable to the community if they really knew what we had to change in order to allow some uses in there. So I think, yeah, I think it's definitely an element.
Okay. And I think to Chair Grantham's comments, and I think the commission as well, there's two, you know, whether or not the council makes a priority or staff makes priority, I mean, my... You know, I think the idea of revisiting all of these, as you say, I don't think there's any clear priority for me. I would defer to my colleagues on council, but it seems like if, you know, we can look at them as a whole and allow you to, you know, facilitate how we do that throughout the year, whether it's with an intern or however you suggested. You know, I think you probably have a better handle on that. And you know, I look to my left and my right if there's any other comments on that. None. Any other comments from Planning Commission?
Well, just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, I would leave it up to staff, of course, but I was putting my priorities, and I'll just say what they are. I would like beach, waterfront parking, and North Main in that order, because I think beach is a real timely one that's changing as we speak, and I think that needs to have attention paid to it. But that's just my opinion. You guys are the experts. I'll let you figure out what you want to do first. Any comments from planning? Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Did you have a comment, Rob?
I just had. It's an easy one to look at because we're right in the Beach Street specific plan as we sit here right now.
So with that, I think we could, you know, make a recommendation to, and I would ask for agreement from council if we would have a recommendation to move forward with the reviewing these specific plans under your guidance. And I don't know if we need to go for a vote for that, or if we want to make a motion on that, or if there's just general concurrence on pursuing that. And I'll look to my right. Any comments? None.
Perhaps we leave it up to staff. Would you prefer a motion? Would that help you in the clarity of this? Or,
well, I guess I see council consensus into, and I'll just restate what I think would be the goal, is to review these in the context of the general plan LCP update and to make sure that there's vertical consistency all the way through our regulations as we move forward.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. So we have consensus across the board on that. Great. Thank you. Any following comments on that?
I'd like to ask a question that doesn't have to do directly with this, if that's okay, regarding redevelopment. With the state shortfall taking back everybody's redevelopments, is there any redevelopments going on in any cities now, or is that just a dead issue?
I believe it's a done issue.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Thank you for that.
Okay, great. So with that, let's move on to item number two, and that's the update of the general plan LCP. And there again, we'll turn that over to Mr. Leivick, or is that Ms. Wald?
Ms. Wald
will
just through that one.
Okay. So I guess where we are to date is that staff is still still pursuing grant opportunities and working through that work program. And am I on the right topic? Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
and so the way this has kind of been sort of evolved is that we started out kind of identifying the basic fundamental steps we have to take to move forward on the LCP general plan. And what we found out of it was that we really need to do some technical studies. There's some technical studies that need to be done. And they need to be done piggybacking on what kind of is out there right now as far as statewide studies, as far as sea level rise and that type of thing, mostly climate change type of issues that affect a coastal community such as us. So what's kind of evolved out of all these grant submissions is that we sort of have a pretty specific work program. And so we're looking for those to get answers back on those grants before we start identifying what we want to have, maybe an ad hoc group, you know, or a citizen participation group work and help us with the general plan. Because by setting down the absolutes down first, we can spend our time working on the things with the givens already identified. And so that's kind of how we're moving forward with that. And so I think if you look at some of our grant applications and how the work programs are structured in there, you can kind of see how we don't want to end up in the same situation as we did with the wastewater treatment plant, where the floodplain and the issues with it being coastal access were done at the back end instead of the front end. So we're trying to identify all the constraints up front and do that in a way that also serves us to be applying for these grants. So they're interwoven, you know, not spending our staff time twice, but we're spending it, and by participating in these grant opportunities, it's also, like I said, unfolded that we have a pretty good work program and where we need to be going. Now, with that said, you know, we're not at the point really where we can have citizen participation in any kind of group setting. Because we don't really know what these, at some point we're going to have to fund, if we don't get funded through these grants, we're going to have to fund some of these studies in order to get those answers for us to know which properties. I mean, just an example would be the wastewater treatment plant. And, you know, those studies have probably already been done and we have data for that. But that might be sort of the micro and the macro. We'll use that as a test case to see how these new kind of technology would unfold to help us direct how we're growing in the future and where we put our uses and where growth is. And this, for instance, because we don't have a sphere here, we can't really move out in order for us to, this is how these all push and pull together, in order for us to meet our regional housing needs, it may be that we'll have to address the issues of maybe some smaller lots and some denser building inside to accommodate growth, because we're not going to go outside our city limit boundaries. And so we may eventually have to address some of the issues of how we have this sort of set 6,000 square foot lot size that sort of hems everybody in into this kind of, you know, cookie cutter type of subdivisions, even though we're anything but a cookie cutter type city. So that's kind of how I think it will all kind of unfold and work together, but we need to have these givens identified first.
I want to give another example of where this study is needed. In our previous general plan in LCP, we identified with a very broad brush, or maybe it was even a roller, where our environmentally sensitive habitat areas are, mm-hmm. very ill-defined. And we set ourselves up, I think, for failure in those documents by saying, at some future time, we're going to study these and better identify these, or use, you know, for example, for wetlands ESH, we would use the National Wetlands Inventory. Well, those aren't very detailed studies, and it doesn't give very much certainty to somebody that wants to look at developing along those ESH boundaries what their constraints are for development. And I think with climate change, I think now is the point where we really need to restudy these areas and look to see what constraints are out there so that there is some certainty there with our general plan in LCP.
Great. Any other comments for that? Thanks. Any questions from council? Chair Grantham?
Thank you. Regarding the grants, are we chasing mostly county, state, or fed grants?
State.
state. And are we ever in a situation, do we find ourselves in a situation where we say, boy, we have a decent chance at this grant, but we don't have grant writers available? Are all our grants that are feasible, are we completing those applications, or are there some that are falling because we don't?
The grant opportunities for this type of work, LCP, general plan rewrite, are not that common. They're statewide grant opportunities. We have actually used the help of consultant services to help us prepare these grant applications. And just want to point out, Kathleen didn't add upon this, but we've been asked on the first grant that we applied for, we made, I guess, the first cutoff, so they've asked us to supply additional information. So that grant is looking very well. So, and then the really the have success in helping cities get these grants. So we're trying to maximize our success rate rather than using interns to do that.
I will say, though, that we had interns that helped us make connections. We've got a tremendous, I think it was, 10 or 14, somewhere between 10 to 14 letters of support. I mean, the interns were really good in reaching out to the community and getting support across really the countywide from all our representatives and local people. Also, by their outreach, we've gotten, I think, connected to a lot of people that would like to kind of pair up with us throughout some of these grant opportunities when available, because everyone's sort of in the same position that, you know, they're stretched with resources. They'd like to apply for some of these grants. So, you know, extra points are always given to communities that are collaborative and are working together. And so the interns did help us in that way.
Okay, thanks for that. Anything from the commission? Mr. Lucas?
Hey, Kathleen, I just wanted to revisit the idea of what's the relationship between our LAFCO sphere and the nature of the way these evolve? Because if we do something like we choose to pursue the wastewater treatment plant up the Morrow 41 corridor, you know, obviously that's potentially an annexation kind of thing. But then we also have this issue of, you know, our watersheds and things start to cross these boundaries, and we're seeing more ties between things like our well fields and what happens outside of our influence. Do we have the ability, especially given the fact, I think the county's long-term housing issues are also to build near the developed urbanized areas. So if the county's basically saying they want to advocate building closer to us, it's basically a draw on our services, or at least on our environmental, you know, watersheds and service areas for all of our service providers. I mean, is this an open question that we can go back to LAFCO and ask for sphere changes that would impact these things?
As a matter of fact, we just met with LAFCO 2 days ago. They're in the process of their sphere of influence update, the municipal service resources inventory. So we're getting them that information, and their executive director has asked us to provide you know, any areas where we think there could be potential annexations. You know, Morro Bay is fairly well constrained around its boundary on, you know, what is developable on the outside of the city limits. There's not a whole lot of area out there that's you know, not prime ag or estuary or other resources that probably aren't easily developable. There might be a little area to the north on the, you know, the Chevron former tank farm site that is potentially developable near our boundaries. And then regarding the wastewater treatment plant site, they did broach that subject and talked about how public facilities are allowed to, let's say it's not contiguous with our boundary, we would be allowed to do, if we so choose, an island annexation of that area so that it would be included in the city limits but not contiguous with the city limits, similar to the way Paso Robles has annexed their landfill. Although it's well outside of town, it's within the city limits. I don't know if I answered the question or not.
Oh, no, you did, very much so. It just goes across all sorts of little tiny things that add up. I mean, I'm always very amazed how much the town changes when we don't necessarily see it changing. And that whole 41 corridor with the growth of the agriculture, I mean, that's potentially trade and taxable income and things like that, but all sorts of things that could contribute to the way we are here. And we are constrained in most of the other places, but that's the one that just strikes me, you know, that when we have to deliver services to people down toward the base of the bay and toward CMC and things like that, you know, that's another kind of little zone there that's very interesting, I think.
Dr. Teff, anything?
Just a related issue in terms of planning ahead and, you know, getting all the information. Have you had communications with the Coastal Commission regarding, because we've gone through this once before, a plan was written and submitted to Coastal Commission and never reviewed. Have we gone through with them, had discussions, what they're going to expect in order to, you know, move ahead with it once it's written?
Yes, we have, and we have quarterly telephone meetings with Coastal Commission staff and discuss a variety of issues, and always on our topic to discuss is our general plan LCP update. And they're excited about working with us on this plan. And I just have to add the last plan, give benefit to Coastal Commission staff.
We were talking about the scarcity of land for development in Morro Bay, and it hit me that there's that large empty parcel of land just west of the, if you're in the dog park at Del Mar and you look out toward the freeway where Chevron remediated all that land. That's
the project that I alluded to was, you know, that's one that has, I think, Chevron is interested in maybe marketing that for development. There has been some work with that. We have not been expressly approached by Chevron for annexation of that area, but I'm sure that is an area that is probably, if anything, that could be potentially annexed for development, that would be the area that could possibly be. But that's going to be a decision for the community through Planning Commission and City Council to make.
Mr. Stolo. Last one, unless Mr. Fennessy wants to talk. I just want to understand, since English is my second language, it's $900,000is the budget to do the general plan and the LCP plan update based on the information you gave us. Am I right about that? Approximately. Of which $393,000 is to update the LCP plan, of which you're looking for a $250,000 grant? Is that the way I should be reading this? 200 pages?
We're looking towards multiple grant opportunities. There's always probably maybe a fairly good chance that we won't receive one or more of those grants, and that will either require that the city expend the funds to provide those resources, or that it takes longer to do. You know, when we budgeted for the grant, we budgeted based on doing a lot of this with consultant help. If, let's say, we're not going to get the grant, then we would basically hire the intern army rather than consultants to help us with this LCP update. It would slow things down. Some of the technical studies are going to be very difficult to do without grant dollars, and we might have to take a different approach with the LCP update if we don't get those special study monies. So, but yes, it's an expensive process, but we have multiple grant opportunities that we're looking towards to fund it, and approximately $900,000 to do the entire update.
And of which you're currently looking for a $250,000 grant, of which I'm just trying to understand the numbers here. $393,000 for the LCP, of which $76,000 is coming from the maintenance fund, it says. That's what it says, right?
Right.
Right. of which, and there's $67,000 of in-kind staff time, I guess that's what you called it, and then $250,000 is the grant that you're looking for to do the LCP update. That was all the testimonial attachments that we got from Bruce, Supervisor Gibson, Kashian, Lois Capps, saying give them the grant. So that, is that?
That's one of the grants that we're looking towards.
Okay.
There's the $250,000 Coastal Commission grant that's specifically for LCP updates. We have a Coastal Conservancy grant that we've applied for technical studies that are included in that $900,000. And then there's the Strategic Growth Council grant that we have not yet applied for because they have not released their third round of funding applications. And Kathleen will give us maybe a little bit more information on the budgetary numbers that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that there's some overlap. I mean, they've tried not to overlap at all, but, I mean, obviously each one of these grants has to be tailored to the actual prompt that's in the grant. What they're, you know, like, you know, there are some that are just specific for LCP updates. There are some that are very specific for adaptation to climate change. And so there might be some overlap money-wise. I think we tried very hard not to do that. And like I said before, use them as building blocks so that if we got funding for a portion, that portion would then fill a hole in the LCP general plan update. Obviously, since the last time we went in 2004, all climate change stuff is brand new. I mean, they didn't have that issue back then. So a lot of the technical studies that we're having to do or would have to do in order to complete the general plan LCP were not things they needed to do back then. So the money is, as Rob said, for us it's matching funds really, then it's staff time, that type of thing, that we use to match. I mean, every single one's a little bit different.
Mr. Fennessy, if you want to chime in.
No, she answered my question.
Okay, I think we're good.
Okay, thanks. Nancy Johnson, I had to leave. She wasn't leaving well, just so for the record, so you know everybody knows what's, you know, sure she had to depart. I had a quick question before yours.
I think I just had a point of clarification on Mr. Grantham on your question about the Chevron property. I believe you were asking about the property west of Del Mar Park on North Main by Alva Paul Creek, and Mr. Leibick was describing the Chevron property at Toro Creek. So, Mr. Leibick, you may want to speak to the Alva Paul.
The Alva Paul property is obviously already in the city limits and wouldn't require annexation to develop that. Chevron has recently completed their remediation of the site, and I presume, based on who was working on it from Chevron, since it was from their real estate branch, that they're planning on marketing that property for development.
And I've had a chance to try to get some more information on that item. And one thing, there's a couple things, there's quite a few unknowns still, but that could be mixed-use commercial components to that property and building off of the R4 that's just to the south. To the south, thank you. And then the other component that's kind of nice is our Rec and Parks Department has already talked about the concept of a creek trail following the creek connecting North Main and Del Mar Park, which would be a component.
Okay, George, Christine?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I would like to say that I think it's a very creative approach that you've taken on accomplishing this very large task. So I want to compliment you on taking a look at the grants available and taking the time to apply to the ones that will fit in as if they're all going to fall into place. So I just want to compliment you. I think it's a daunting task, and I'm really impressed to have this opportunity. I think for the community and for the Planning Commission, for all of us to hear how much thoughtful work went into it, I think it's very important because it is honestly a bit dry. I'm sorry, I apologize, but I have to say, you know, I've always said that about this. It's incredibly important. And it is the baseline for everything we do in the city, and every city is faced with the same challenge. So I just want to really compliment you and appreciate the work that's been done. And then I also did some arithmetic, so it's very basic, in response to what I think is a great point that Mr. Sola brings up. And I counted four grants that were in the staff report. One is very large, and that would be for the $900,000 grant that we are waiting to apply for from the Strategic Growth Council that caters to this kind of municipal update. So in then there were the other three are all state grants, and I added them up. If we are awarded them, that would be between $500,000 and $700,000 from state money if we're awarded them based on, you know, the submittals that we have. And then going further and looking at the grants, since we're here talking with the Planning Commission, I can't help but think about development, and there were comments made earlier about, you know, not the struggle to develop in a regulatory world. So I couldn't help but notice that three of the grants mentioned the buzzwords sea level rise and greenhouse gas emissions. So clearly, for all of us, the writing is on the wall about what is expected, at least to get grants in this area. But then I started thinking about if we want to, and there is desire, and I think there is desire for economic development reasons, property tax reasons, sales tax reasons, there is desire and there is need for Morro Bay within our island that we are really of ourselves sometimes, that if we want to continue to find creative ways to develop, then it really is in our best interest to get creative and to get savvy and find out how are other communities developing in this new world where the reality of having to come up with ways to manage or mitigate sea level rise, greenhouse gas emissions, all of these environmental issues. I know other communities tend to continue to have exciting coastal properties. I was talking to someone today who spends a lot of time. He's a planner, works for a large firm in Slough County, and just describing how much time is spent working with coastal, and that their relationship with coastal is very, very close. And they're able to find a way to work with coastal that, without getting a pre-approval, which coastal doesn't like to do, they're able to be very forthright on the front end of the projects. So then when they come forward, they're able to get them approved much quicker. So for me, I'm looking at the writing on the wall in terms of what we have to do and creative ways and getting savvy to continue to bring exciting projects.
But I won't digress. But getting back to the general plan LCP update, thanks for the report and the work that you're doing. I think Christine made the compliments too that we're due. Having said, you know, all of this that we've discussed, we're looking at what opportunities we have for grants, and I know we're going to be talking about from a council level how we're going to facilitate that. So I guess my question is what program we're going to put together to actually achieve updating this general plan and LCP, and I break it down into three categories: fully funded, partially funded, or in-house. And I know we're looking at how we have technical reports that we're going to need help with, but I'd like you to respond to, you know, how we're going to develop a program to actually achieve updating our general plan and LCP kind of in those categories, and if you could actually comment on, you know, other ideas.
Okay, so I think we're waiting to see, you know, staff right now is taking the attitude we're waiting to see where we're going to go with these grants, because that's our preferred method of going forward, would be, you know, to have some funding with some of these studies, et cetera. I think if it turns out that we're partially funded, I think that the way that Rob said how he explained to you previously, I think would be the way we would go forward, that we would try to fund the technical studies with whatever grants we have or whatever monies we have, because those are things we don't necessarily have the in-house expertise for, and that we would work then on establishing a program where we would backfill probably with staff time and interns, and maybe we talked earlier in the year about reaching out to Cal Poly and trying to have maybe once we had sort of an outline of where we're going and what funds we have and what assistance we need, that we would start talking about maybe having it in, and I'm not a Cal Poly student, but you know, they have these Well, maybe Commissioner Lucas could help us.
The seminar courses,
yeah,
the design
seminar
courses.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was looking for the word they call them. And they've reached out to us before and asked us if they could do something here in this community. Well, you know, their work is no longer free, and, you know, and we do have to pay for it, I mean, although it's minimal cost. But we wanted to have it useful. We don't want to have them just work on something that's a feel-good project. We actually wanted to know where we were going and what we needed them to do. So Rob and I and Andrea had talked about that earlier in the summer, whether we should try to reach out and try to get something for this fall semester. And the decision was we were a little bit premature. We're working with getting, like I said, we've done a lot in the last 6 months in trying to build bridges with everybody in the community, and that helps a lot because even with the Coastal, you know, we have a very good working relationship with them right now, and so they're giving us examples and work that we wouldn't have to replicate. You know, there's always that, you know, change the name and use it as your own. It's kind of the industry standard in planning. So we're identifying the things that we can use from other communities, what they've done. Rob has asked them. They've worked hand-in-hand with one community that they worked to kind of craft it incrementally. And Rob has asked that we they consider us for the same program, and they will. And so we have kind of a template of how they've done it with other communities. So that's kind of how we do the partially funded, and I think we would, like I said, we would reach out to all our resources once we knew where we were going as far as the technical studies. And then completely on our own, I think then we're looking, the first thing that we're trying to do is stay consistent with, you know, we have our general plan right now, we have our housing element coming due again. It's a 5-year cycle, and we need to stay in compliance for a lot of grants and things that go on. And so if we're not funded in any way other than what is business as usual, we would probably look at, you know, making sure we're consistent with that with staff level or maybe some consultant, and then start working on finding a way for us to, I guess, coming to council and finding a way to fund the technical studies. It's really important when you're starting with a general plan LCP that we sort of hammer out where we want to go as far as the general study area. Commissioner Lucas was saying, you know, I mean, do you want to have your sphere bigger? Because if you want to have your sphere bigger and you want, then the next step is, okay, LAFO is going to tell you, show us how you're going to serve that. They're never going to let you have a sphere bigger if you can't serve it, okay? And what are you going to do with it? And so all of those may be policy issues, may be restrictive, and maybe people want to come into the city of Morro Bay. So I think that's how we would kind of look at it. Does that make any sense at all? But in my head, I can see it. You know, I can see it. So, yeah, sorry. So, you know, I'm just saying it's a very complex issue, and there's a lot of dots you have to, you know, I's you have to dot and T's you have to cross.
Yeah. So waiting for funding, and at that point, it's kind of making it basically deciding on what path we're going to take and developing that program as far as fully funded, partially funded, a compartmental type with the Coastal Commission, et cetera.
I think the difficulty is the necessary technical studies that are needed these days. In the 2004 update, I don't think there was one technical study performed. It was all policy revision. There was no detailed scientific analysis of anything. It was kind of mashing the two documents together and redefining policy, more of an editing job than a complete restudy. So that's not business's norm anymore, especially in the coastal zone. For LCP updates, there are requirements that need to be met that do take some specific technical work to do.
And I would just add that, you know, we've had these old documents now since 1988, and we're looking for them to catch up with us, but you need to be, you know, have a vision to be out there. I mean, this, when we're updating these, they can't be just updated for today. They have to have a long-range view to them, and that's where these technical studies are really going to come into, because that's it's going to set the foundation for the next 30 years.
Great. Thanks for that. Any other questions from council?
I had a quick follow-up question just for folks who may be watching, and really for me as well, I have to admit. Can you give us an example? If you're saying that last time the update was attempted, we didn't have to do technical studies, can you give us one quick example of what you mean by a technical study?
A simple technical, well, not quite simple, one that I'm most familiar with is traffic studies for your circulation element, the counting of cars, the analysis when you have what you anticipate for your future land use, how much traffic will be generated from that that land use plan. Another more scientific technical study would be we have these very broad ESH boundaries adjacent to our stream corridors, hundreds if not thousands of feet wide in some cases, with a policy that says if you're going to develop in here, you need to do more detailed analysis. Well, we don't really know where that boundary of that ESH is, and that would be an example of a technical study to do a little bit more rigorous wetlands and stream mapping for that. Looking at, so the state has done on the coastal zone for dealing with, my mind just went blank on me, dealing with sea level rise, done a very broad brush analysis of that, but they didn't look at the detailed topography of our specific region. You know, they're looking at it from a satellite view. We may have to have a little bit more detailed topography to show on a parcel by parcel basis how that is influencing our development patterns.
And if I may be permitted one more, and of these studies, are there 20 of them to do? I do estimate when you talk about a technical study, are you seeing a pocket of 20 or 10 or 15 or beyond?
I don't think we've counted, have we?
I would say a handful, really.
Yeah.
It's you know, traffic and basically the coastal climate change issues is really my simple engineer's brain, you know, what we'd be looking at.
There was recently at one of the coastal meetings that I went to, the movement of doing basically the climate change in region. So it might be for this whole county as an example. I think Arcata, of all places, did one for their region. So that would be interesting if we actually get to that point where we're doing a coastline or a county, for an example, then you know, whether or not Moore Bay, Pismo, and all the other coastal cities would partner in that. But yeah, we'll see, you know, see how that develops.
So I might also add that, you know, when years passed, we don't have an EIR for our general plan or LCP like most cities have.
Our climate action plan and how we're locally going to address climate change.
Great. Well, thanks for this report. Hopefully it was very educational for our audience as well, but I felt that it was a very good. Any more questions, or is the Planning Commission okay with this?
Anything from Planning Commission folks? I think we're good.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Kathleen and everyone. With that, we'll conclude agenda item number 2 and move on to item number 3, which is update on potential rezone and general plan amendments for the M1 area along Atascadero Road, and that would be Ms. Wold.
Okay. I think that I gave you an overview of where we left this last, which was in February 2013. Indicated that we were to gather information through an RFP process and get a more refined cost for environmental review and prepare maps. It was the decision of the Public Services Department to hire additional interns. We've had, I'd say, 4 dedicated interns working because we took a look at what we had in-house and what it would take to start updating our maps. And it was decided that it was more beneficial for the city to use interns or that had expertise in GIS and do that rather than, because we looked at some of the costs we got on some of the GIS work, and it was decided that was more beneficial. So the Public Works part of Public Services has been working on the GIS portion of it. They've updated we had a zoning map that you can see that's pretty in color on the city's website, and our land use has been from like 1988. And so those interns have updated that, and that's part of the first step is having a flexible, dynamic land use map, something that's not stagnant, so that we can actually change this rezone property so that all our maps would reflect this. We didn't have that, so we've done that. So we didn't go out for an RFP because we decided to do it in-house, and so that's one of the things we've accomplished with that. And then the second item was, where did this fall in the priorities list? And so on the actual priority list of council, this one, it doesn't actually appear on it on its own, but it actually, I assume, would be incorporated into the goal number 3, which is update plans for current and future land use needs. So that would be an answer to that. And then finally, I guess we just gave you where we are with the wastewater treatment and that West Atascadero Road project would be, we think that there's a lot of information out there that's been done via the wastewater treatment plant analysis and options and things of that, such as the wave run-up. I mean, we had these things in here kind of identified in that wastewater treatment information that's on the website. There's the alternative highest and best use analysis report, a maximum tsunami flood elevations, a technical memorandum for flood analysis, etc. And we think that most of that information, although it's just specifically to, I guess, the wastewater treatment study area, it's general enough in that area that we can start looking at that and take a look at what land use is going to be compatible with the actual physical constraints of that site. And so some of this information we need to kind of glean from the wastewater treatment information that's on the website and then put that together in a package and then start coming back, whether we're working with Planning Commission or we're working with City Council, to talk about the constraints of those sites and where we see land use going. Because, again, we're going to be talking about changing the general plan land use of this property, but that land use still needs to be consistent with the land use policies and the general plan. And then if we start talking about changing general plan policies, then we're probably talking, depending on what we're changing, then we're talking about probably we may get into a more rigorous environmental review of those policies. It's a little bit easier if the land uses are somewhat consistent with the policies, and not changing policies for us to move forward with that rezone. I mean, I think we've already know that that some of the policies, like leaving the plant in its place, were interpreted differently than we had interpreted in the past. And so, you know, the changing from the plant being there to it not being there would not be inconsistent with some of those policies that we thought once would have been.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. To my left, any comments? Noah?
Because, you know, with the big S specific plan, you have to have phasing, and you have to talk about infrastructure, and then you have to talk about the cost of infrastructure. And if you can look at some of these plans, I think I was looking at the beach one, you can see that it's in the back of that. I mean, you know, you start talking about a long-range plan for an area and the city engaging itself and doing those things. We're talking about it gets very expensive and labor intensive when you're talking about all the actual elements that need to be in a specific plan. That's a policy decision, but obviously one of the issues might be that to consider that if when the area redevelops, that the developer or whoever is required to do that at such time as they come in and either, you know, aggregate the parcels or do what they want to do, because, you know, it's you know, whoever then subsequently comes in and wants to develop that property after we vacated it, it would seem like it's really something that the city would want them to do and show us how it's going to look in the big picture.
Great.
Yeah, anything else, Dr. Teff?
No, I don't, I don't at all mean to be specific about the mechanism. You know, all I'm saying is that at some point, I think there's a huge potential being created here, and we need to look at all of it.
Okay, Mr. Lucas.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with what Dr. Teff said. You know, we did a North Embarcadero Futures study many years ago, probably 2005, 2006. And that's when the issue first came up about what could happen post-power plant. You know, it could be that it was going to go with the new plant, or it could be that they were going to abandon the plant. And, you know, I think in terms of working with developers in the past in larger urban areas, you know, the idea is there's always a vision of what could happen, but you've got to see, is it compatible with what the city is putting forward to see what are they going to do about it? Because that's a really tricky property. You know, PG&E's got this massive utility infrastructure on the other side that's really not connected to the power plant in any way. It's kind of its own entity there. But at the same time, we've got our fisherman storage, and across the creek we have a whole series of things there, the concrete plant and things like that. And I think those are wonderful things for now. But if we look at this larger best use issue, can we have a request for proposals, or if the owner would go out for a request for proposals privately, if they don't see that the city has a vision of this being an opportunity, we'll lose it, and it'll remain in some kind of lower-end industrial use that may not generate things for the city that could be a game-changer for us. And so I think it's one of those crossroads points that's fascinating to consider, because it seems like, well, it's the old sewer plant site potentially, but it's also it's the preview of what could happen between downtown. You know, the idea of the beautiful bridge that's going to be done, you know, that's just going to be the first taste of what it's like to connect those pieces together. And I think once people see that, the image of those places is going to change dramatically when one takes their bike from downtown up through, all the way up through the Cloisters. It's going to be very different.
Mr. Fantasy. Okay, John. Okay, good.
Great, thank you. This has been great discussion. It's been both, you know, from the specific plan discussion and kind of getting that on the table to work with. I've been real pleased. I hope it's exciting for the Planning Commission to do that. And very educational discussion. A little bit long meeting for us, but you know, great discussion. I think, Noah, you had some comments as well?
Yes, the commissioner, sorry about that. The commissioner's comments sparked something that I've been thinking a lot about, and it goes in line with thinking about the future there. And knowing that since I've been on the council, there have been multiple times where it's been suggested that we're going to need to revisit the city's corporation yard as well, where all of our vehicles are stored and our operations are out of, and the potential reinvestment in that site could be up to $2 million. Is a suggested number for what we would need to invest to the corporation yard there. And so I'm thinking to myself, it would be very beneficial for us to have some initial planning in the works so that as we get to that point where it's time to either pony up or consider other options, that we start to have a better idea about where we're trying to go with that. So thanks for your comments, and I think this is a really important area for us in the future.
Great. I think that concludes all our comments, which brings us to adjournment. And if there's no other comments, I think we can adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.